Hello and welcome to the Tech on Toast podcast. My name's Chris Fletcher and I'm your host. Tech on Toast exists to connect hospitality to technology. Search for your best problem-solving tech on our marketplace, listen to both operators and tech experts on our podcast, or just meet up with the brilliant people who are helping innovate the hospitality industry as we enter a new era. Welcome to Tech on Toast. The Tech on Toast podcast is brought today by Point One. Point One offers the complete EPOS system for your hospitality business. From mobile order and pay and self-serve kiosks to restaurant and kitchen management, Point One has the solution. Head over to their website today to find out more and get in touch with their experienced team. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the next episode of Tech on Toast, and this week I'm joined by Joe Heather, General Manager at Deliveract UK and Ireland. Is that right? UK and Ireland?
Yeah, that's right.
Very well travelled man. And I know Joe quite well. Obviously, I had a little hiatus last summer where I spent the summer with the lovely people at Deliveract, and it was brilliant. And I've been a fan of the product for, since Zong came along, and we did an event for him about 3 years ago. We were the first ones, I think, where he evented, and we kind of came along and said, can I speak at your event? And we said, yeah, come along and speak. And yeah, he blew everyone away with what they were doing. And then obviously it's gone on and on. And how are you, my friend?
Very good. Obviously, we'd be happier if you were still in play with Deliveract, but congrats and very well.
No, thanks, mate. Yeah, it's been a journey. I think I'm just unemployable.
That was mentioned a few times.
I'm not even going to get into that. But yeah, I would imagine that's things. Tell us a little bit about you, because you've got an interesting past before you joined Deliveract.
Yeah, it's a fairly limited past. So there's two...
Limiting or limited?
Both. You've got Mondelez. I was there for 4 years. You know, typical working with independent retailers and then wholesale cash and carries. Good touch into the FMCG world. And then moved to Just Eat in the very early days, 2009, during its huge growth. There for 12 years. So 12 years in Just Eat terms is forever. You managed to touch a whole host of elements within the business. I was very fortunate to be able to be exposed to a huge amount of their success.
Yeah, I bet the learning was insane there because of, as you say, because it was early doors. I met someone from who was early doors at Deliveroo, and they said the same, that it was just the learning curve was big.
Oh, huge, absolutely huge. You know, from a few hundred restaurants to, I think, what they sit today at 600,000 plus globally.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an exciting...
Are you taking credit for that, Joe?
Oh, I must have done at least 10 of those. and then was a partner business with Deliveract. I had a good kind of bit of insiders into how the business was performing. Saw these incredible brands coming on board with the Deliveract integration. Rolled World came up and it seemed a must. And so made the dive across and definitely been enjoying it since.
Yeah, and how many years you've been at Deliveract now?
So into my second year.
Second year. It's long service, right? Are you going to get an award or something? And you work for four cracking guys, don't you, in terms of the founders, the guys that work there. You've got it's an interesting setup, isn't it?
Sure, it's the perfect setup. You've got four founders, three of those who've got product backgrounds.
Yeah.
So it's a product-led business, with the fourth founder being, you know, go-to-market commercially focused. So you end up with this focus and drive from a commercial perspective, pushing to product to then deliver exactly what the market requires. So actually, it's a good balance.
And it's a genuinely, like, I mean, having worked there, the onboarding and when you're brought on, I mean, I think when tech grows quickly or when any company grows quickly, right, there's a lot of bumps in the road, right, in terms of bringing people on. But my experience of joining them and actually starting and going through all the learning was insane, in a good way. Like, I really enjoyed, I don't know if you had the same when you were onboarded, because I came a little bit after you. But I found it like doing my hoodie, my stuff arrived straight away. Then I was straight on the onboarding program. And generally, after 2 weeks, I remember speaking to my old business partner saying, I bloody love these guys. This is amazing.
Oh, it's a great culture. The company's excellent. The tough part is just the variables in the business. You think you sit in the heart of the market, working with brands, working with channels, working with dispatch partners, working with other SaaS companies.
Yeah.
And you need to know as much as possible about all facets.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one to absorb and take on board and get the knowledge of quickly.
So you're definitely spinning plates, excuse the pun.
Spinning plates.
And tell us a little bit. Actually, we haven't talked about anyone who doesn't know the product. The main core product that Deliveract, tell us all about what it actually does.
So there's probably a misperception out there in the market. I know this because I speak to brands day in, day out. They think Deliveract, middleware, POS injection. And of course, that is the fundamentals of our company. But over the years, it's developed into this platform, and that platform being menu management, order management, not necessarily just order injection, data and analytics, and then you've got also like a unified order tablet. So you've got those four assets which sit in the heart of DeliverAct, which allow then brands and businesses to be able to control digital channels from one place, which then becomes essential as part of the operational setup.
How long did it take to get that patter down? That was like 20 seconds. Perfect.
Yeah, I've been working on that. Normally I have a slide, which aids me.
And one of the things, actually, and I think because the product is, in essence, quite simple. I generally, when I first met Zong and he was talking about it, I was just like, God, that's such a simple idea. And it makes sense, right? And so many people picked it up so quickly. And actually, when I started working there, the global nature of DeliverAct, I was shocked by. Because I think you have a very much a UK head on. You know all the UK SaaS guys. You work with everyone in London. But then when you sat down and worked there and look at the true international, you know, the weekly sprint was in, you know, pick a country, right? Each week the weekly sprint was somewhere different. But that true global nature is growing, right? That's getting bigger and bigger.
I checked yesterday. We've got a footprint across 68 different regions.
Wow.
So 68 different regions. Typically, we've probably got 40 to 45 that are well covered. So that's POS integrations and channel integrations.
Yeah.
That's typically where we're at our best. But again, yeah, 68 different regions, and that's forever growing. You know, there's brand pressure, but we're working with, you know, your likes of Yum Brands, RBI, yeah, and others who want to expand into other regions with the same tech stack. There's a degree of pressure from our side to then go and move into those areas.
Wow. And obviously, as you've just explained there, it brings its own pressures, right, in doing that, because you're growing into a global, and it doesn't stop for you, does it? It's not like the world stops for DeliverAct to catch up and grow into these areas. You have to keep going, right? And you're constantly growing the team, constantly iterating the product.
Yeah. And again, let's say we take 40 regions where we're prominent. You've got some all of different maturity levels. You've got the UK, which is exceptional. You know, we have like almost 100 POS integrations. We have all the relevant channels. In other regions, you know, somewhere else in the Middle East or South America, we might be missing a few elements.
Yeah.
So it's to build them to the same maturity level.
And is UK the most mature market then you deal with? You think?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see the US picking up quickly. Europe is strong. APAC is strong under Australia. We have a few blind spots. So, you know, take India,
yeah,
take China, take Russia, Japan, the areas where we've, you know, considered before but not in play. But other than that, we're well covered.
I feel like Joe's extension out of UK and Ireland is growing. If the four are listening, Joe's pinching.
I try and stay as UK focused as possible, but
it's hard. Yeah, it is really hard.
If it is a financial district, we end up having lots of touching points with global brands from this place.
No, it's brilliant. And it's still, people think I'm mad when I say this, but delivery is still relatively new, right? So if you compare it to restaurants itself, which have been around hundreds of years, right? Delivery in itself is probably in its real essence, probably 5-10 years old and probably really kind of doing, how long was just, 2009 was it Just Eat, you said?
Yeah, when it truly kicked off. Yeah. 2006, it came to the UK. And
yeah.
It didn't really move until 2014 when it went IPO.
Because I still deal with people coming through like the indies and kind of the smaller guys coming through Tech on Toast who are still one site, two site, just starting the delivery journey. I'm just looking to do this. What should I do? And it's mind-boggling to me, but I think it's still a thing, right, that people are still very much learning about whether this journey is profitable or not.
Profitability, well, that's a tough one to chuck me into right now. Yeah. Living crisis high, inflation high, food inflation incredibly high. Yeah. So profitability is difficult. Let's say I was to give any advice to any operator in this place, it's to refocus back onto the menu.
Yeah.
It's one of the most obvious points of contact for a business to focus on the menu, but how actually focused are you? If you can take like a £24 average order spend and then work on how it's situated, how the menu conversion happens, what modifier groups, what nested modifiers, how you attach upsells into that, taking 24 to 25 to 26 to 27, that's going to drive profitability to your business.
And I think that's an always thing, right? That's an evergreen thing you should be doing, constantly looking back at your menus, constantly challenging yourself on ingredients, margins, you know, whatever you're doing from the base level, and then multiplying it through a middleware like you guys.
Yeah, and I think often people will look at their, you know, they'll look at the balance sheets and go to their operational expenditures and go, what can we wipe off?
Yeah.
Actually, should we focus on the output? Let's look at the menu and how then do we derive success from that first of all? Obviously, naturally saying that as we're an OPEX on most balance sheets.
but it's a slippery slope, isn't it? If you start cutting labor, start cutting, square footage, wherever you want to start, right? I've done it. I've been there. I've worn the T-shirt. It's a slippery slope, and it's very hard to bring that back once you start that journey. So I think it's really about looking under the bonnet first and kind of making sure that you're sweating your square footage, you're sweating your ingredients, you're sweating your menu. It sounds horrible, doesn't it? Sweating your ingredients.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not going there for dinner. but yeah, I think that's where operators could focus their time and use tech to enable that.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, here to talk about Deliver Act, but when we look at probably the main success of the business, it comes from the menu management side of things.
Yeah.
Incredibly agile system. And going back to that profit pool of the menu again, how do you A/B test a menu if you're a large brand? How do you again test the modifier groups and what's attached to that? And you know, how do you get conversion rate up? How do you test and promote promotions and know if they're profitable and order rates remaining the same, but you're not actually losing out on revenue and value? And this is the tool that allows you to be able to do that flexibly across all digital channels, you know, from a very easy portal.
And I'm guessing the barriers that people are facing when you end up in a sales process and end up with someone coming to talk to DeliverAct, is it the same thing? Is it quite a common problem you're solving, or are people coming to you with, like, menu management is a big one in terms of changing it with one button, right, rather than have to do it in 25 different places?
Yeah, well, it feels like every brand now has a solution.
Right.
They might have direct integrations into their POS. I mean, the lovely thing about that for our business is it's been built on like a legacy tech stack.
Yeah.
So the words often used are clunky and flaky in regards to the integration quality. And you know, it's businesses who are specialists in other areas. Well, we're utter out and out specialists within integrations. We can come in and give a really comprehensive product.
I think that's one of the key things, isn't it? One of the things I really noticed, the size of the product team and the developing team in DeliverAct. I was shocked. That's where they're product led, right? They're product first.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, across 500 employees, 300 of them are product related.
Yeah.
So it's normally the other way around in terms of a balance.
Well, yeah, it's normally kind of brand marketing, sales heavy, and then you kind of do the other stuff on the other end, but they're the opposite, right? They've always led with the product. But they've got experience of doing it. Zhong and Jan were doing that beforehand. Zhong brought the first iPad-based menu or ordering system to the market, right? And that's, so he's got that experience in learning there, and then it's developed there through Lightspeed and into where they are now. So they've obviously got that product-first mentality, right, which they've had all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think where they kind of got the USP in for our business was just to hit globally very, very quickly. Just expansion of regions, NOAM, LATAM, APAC, MENA, Europe. Now that's kind of given us the place to be the market leader.
I love that. And obviously you're creating a lot of data, or there's a lot of data floating about in delivery. Obviously a lot of the aggregators own the data, Just Eat Delivery. But I'm guessing the analytics you can show restaurant managers or restaurant owners around how their delivery is behaving, or kind of the peaks and troughs, what's selling, what's not. I bet that must be incredibly powerful with the amount you're gathering now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're flexible with how we send that data to our relevant clients. So let's say you take a very large enterprise, you know, you take someone like Tesco Group with One Stop. They want reporting endpoints to their BI tooling, and we'll just send off that information. They're going to use that how they will. And then we've got our data and analytics within our dashboard, and it's excellent at a store level.
Yeah.
Excellent at a store level, excellent at a regional level, where you can set KPIs for store managers on things like, you know, hold time, offline time, offline from channel, offline from store, offline from product. Set all these KPIs to relevant store managers, and you naturally then see an improvement.
And the offline thing really interests me, actually. It's because the one thing that I think that I suppose some of the smaller mid-market operators probably don't realize how much it's impacting them, whereas the enterprise guys will have someone literally sitting in an office going, we're losing X amount on a Tuesday or whatever it might be.
We switched off on Uber, Deliveroo, Just Eat for 10% of the time on these times, and we can put revenue sum towards that.
Yeah.
You can quickly show your losses in place. It's almost like a revenue protection tool.
Revenue protection tool. I like that one, Joe.
I'm going to use that one.
And when do you think we'll ever get the data off those guys? Do you think they're ever going to share your former employers?
No, absolutely not. They're going to hold on to it. That's their business model, right?
Yeah.
So they spend a huge amount of money acquiring those customers. Totally right for them to hold on to them.
And what do you think about, because a lot of players are trying to come to market and do their own delivery, right, and bring their own. Do you think that, obviously it works in a silo, I imagine, in certain, but is it ever going to compete really with these big guys, with Deliveroo, Just Eat?
There's definitely space for it.
Yeah.
And I think there's definitely sentiment for it. If you can go direct to consumer away from the platforms, I think they sit side by side.
Look,
think of us as consumers. I mean, I use all the apps. on the basis of I want range, I want choice, their UX and UI is lovely, they've got massive teams creating a very comprehensive product, and they do the delivery side of things. And so that's always going to be the lure for the mass of customer. And then you're going to have those, you know, those more loyal-based customers who are going to do direct-to-consumer, and you're going to want to build in a loyalty program and capture that information, build it into your CRM, and then go and dispatch that yourself. We facilitate that as well, for sure. So we acquired a business recently called Chatfood, which...
Yes, I saw that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Chatfood, a Middle Eastern company. They work with all the large brands out in the Middle East, 3,000 locations. We're bringing it over into Europe as well, into North America at this moment in time, and we'll go out globally eventually. And you can order from Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp. WhatsApp's an interesting one, actually.
Yeah, WhatsApp is interesting.
Yeah, so you might order from Instagram, you then get a WhatsApp status of the order, and then later on, you know, a week later or so, you can then do a reorder through WhatsApp, which is quite interesting. They all add as additional channels coming into your... So, yeah, the omni-channel is really expanding.
It's really... Because we were talking about people tech in one of the last podcasts with a chap called Matt Grimshaw, who runs something called Yuda. And Yuda basically is middleware. Oh, he's going to kill me if I describe it like this, but it sits in between HRIS systems and it sits in between the employee. So it connects the dots, really, because people tech is a bit aged. And what he's doing is automating, but he's going to where they are. So he's going to WhatsApp, he's going to Instagram, he's talking to the kids and all, everyone who's getting hired through these channels, rather than it being clunky, sign in here, enter all your details. So it all gets done in one press through WhatsApp. And that's where you guys are going, right? Food on demand all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How do we allow any channel of ordering to come into place? You know, years ago, people were just across the counter. You know, yeah. We'll do it over the POS. Then the thought of like kiosks coming in or pay at table or, you know, multiple channels, people stay exclusive with just one channel, and then direct to consumer is so intimidating for an operation. How do you create operational excellence? It clearly needs some tooling to consolidate yes. that and make it simple. I think that's naturally what we're trying to resolve here in the market. Lots of channels. Let's take it down into one.
When will that be? When we see that in the UK, will it be?
It's up and running now in a few accounts. We'll have a larger launch in July.
So you're testing now rather than, I mean, as in with some preferred accounts, or
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you know, it's a Meta affiliated business. Again, it works with TikTok as well. It's very rare I'm saying these social media names.
Not big on TikTok, Joe?
I see the value.
Good answer. Yeah, I also see the value. I need to hire someone to do my time. I started doing it myself, and yeah, let's just move on. It just baffles me.
My partner always cringes whenever I mention any form of social media. I've told her I've recently joined the Gram.
Oh, dear. We sound like a couple of old men. But one of the new ways of ordering food or buying food is ghost kitchens, right? Dark kitchens, whatever you want to call them, people, virtual brands. And you guys are supporting that process as well, right? All those customers that are trying to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got some excellent virtual brands on board with us today. So your Peck Waters, Sessions, Lean Kitchen Network, the virtual dining concepts, Mr. Beast Burger.
Very cool.
The list goes on and on and on. That's just UK related. Only. Yeah. Well, they expand into other regions. And yeah, we facilitate the tech for them to be able to, you know, control across multiple different operators. And I think it's an excellent concept. I think there's some really powerful user cases.
Yeah.
Like Stonegate's a great example. So Stonegate using Peck Water across their locations, typically pubs. They want to have a virtual brand within those pubs, not to dampen the in-store experience. Yeah. And then they'll utilize the online food delivery market through Peck Water under that virtual brand concept.
I just think it's a no-brainer, right? I remember when I started at Prime Minister, I spent the first few weeks when I was an ops director there looking at the kitchens, saying, God, what have we got? You know, have we got a grill? Have we got this? What can we do? Because pie is a limiting product. Yeah. Obviously, you want pie in the winter, in the autumn time, not so much in the summer. And they kind of knew that, but obviously that was their brand, that was their leader. So it was about finding what kit we got, the kitchens, what can we do out the back door, as it would be, that wouldn't affect the brand and could affect revenue. And I think it's really quite simple, but you need expert, like you said before, best in class experts doing it for you rather than you just creating your own burger brand, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't need to be a huge amount of revenue coming in, you know, additional 2,000.
Well, you've got the labor, the energy's already in the kitchen, right? The energy's already there, so just use it.
I suppose it's when the energy goes beyond a 2,000 additional revenue, cuts us to turn to 10 to 15.
Well, then you've got a different problem, but that's not a bad one. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because if you did that, if it does start to come into something like that, you've already all of a sudden say, okay, maybe we've got a location that can do more than we thought it could outside of the back door or through the, you know, through our different networks, our partners. So it just becomes a different conversation in the boardroom.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the platforms will start, should we say, auditing this closer in the near future. I think you'll end up seeing like the likes of Uber and Deliveroo and Just Eat. Just Eat are already in that space where they're only giving a certain amount of cuisine types to one location, which I completely agree with.
Yeah.
On the basis of, you know, the market is now online.
Yeah.
It's slightly unfair when you have a provider doing 18 concepts of all the same things from one location. So
a friend of mine runs a dark kitchen in Cardiff. He is a customer of Deliverect, actually, iFeed. And Mark runs, I think he's got 12 brands that he runs out of his iFeed kitchen. And he's got trailers, he does events, all kinds of stuff. But he's talking to Just Eat, trying to get extra brands. If he's listening, go on, Chris, get them for me. But he's trying. But you're right. It's, you know, he's limited to, I think, 4 or 5, as it might be, of different cuisines that he can have. I can't remember what the exact stats were, but it is the right thing to do, because otherwise it's going to be insane, right?
I think there's a nice balance. Yeah. You know, 2-3 brands from one location. It's manageable. You know, it's easier for the operation.
Yeah.
And then you really kind of dig in and maximize on those.
Yeah. Types of customers is interesting for you guys, because you don't have to sit in the casual dining bracket. You don't have to sit. You mentioned Tesco, one stop. Yeah. We're talking about ghost kitchens. What's the breadth of, because you're working with Ben and Jerry's, is that right? Or Unilever?
Unilever, yeah. Across the globe. You know, Krispy Kreme, so Pret's, your coffee shops, Cafe Nero's, obviously the big QSRs.
Yeah.
So Yum's not everywhere, but we've got lots of their estate. Same with RBI as well. So that's been the bread and butter today, and naturally we're seeing Q-commerce come thick and fast into the space. Q-commerce being, you know, typically convenience at this moment. Where's it going to end? I feel like retail is going to end up on the platform as well, so small cosmetic goods and...
Yeah, you can see it coming quite easily, can't you?
Yeah, like, the, you know, I won't mention any names, but the tender processes we're in at the moment, there were some, you know, cracking names in the retail space. And again, they're going to want consolidation of these order streams coming in. Yeah. All consumers want on-demand delivery. They don't want next day. They don't want same day. They want to be able to pick up in 30, 35 minutes. And all of these companies, these platforms, these Ubers, Deliveroos, Just Eats, and all the ones globally, they can, they've got the logistics to be able to provide that.
It's just going to happen, isn't it? I think someone said to me ages ago, when the printers came along, everyone said, no more books will be written. It'll be a nightmare. They're going to stop people writing books. Obviously, billions of books were written because of printers. And I think it's the same with food, that actually the more you can make it accessible, and I think Zon calls it the backbone of the food industry. I think he refers to Deliverect, the backbone of the food industry. And I think it's really interesting, because actually you will end up, if things continue as they are, actually providing that accessibility to everybody for food at any time.
And lots of our product has been built for retail now.
Yeah.
So lots of changes in regards to not just a KDS to pack screen operation. You know, we're looking at pick and packing apps and, you know, being able to do barcode scanning and other aspects.
Wow. There you go. My former employer, Prime Minister, would be very interested. So obviously, they do 160,000 pies a week to the grocery store. So, and their packing is all done by themselves in Bristol, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, it's interesting. There's a lead for you.
I've already written it on my leg.
And what have you, I suppose, the most interesting thing I think about tech and all of you guys who come into the business, some of you don't have a hospitality background, some of you do, but you end up selling into hospitality. What are you learning most? What have you learned most, I suppose? Because you've got Just Eat in your background, so you've got a bit more of an understanding, but what are you learning more about the industry and how it behaves?
Oh, I mean, completely fragmented. You know, it's like, wow. So like the, it surprises me, some of the large QSR brands on multiple different POS systems and multiple different integrators and lots of different online ordering providers. And you think, God, how is this not unified?
And that's pretty common, isn't it?
It's super common.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're all trying to reverse back into unification, but it takes time.
That's not easy.
And then this is probably where I'd come in and say, you know, if you are a mid-market brand who is looking for expansion into the future, you know, you're a franchise model and you want to sell it in America or Europe, think about your tech stack.
Yeah.
You know, think about what travels fiscally from a pods perspective, you know, from an integration perspective. Can you take the same channel integration to, you know, across waters, online ordering platforms, do they travel across waters as well? And so
yeah, and I think your consultative approach, because of the fact that you have so many partners, is useful in this process, right? So if I am mid-market and I am looking at my tech stack and I'm looking, because they need to start looking down the road. I think POS was something you put in back in the day, right? It's just something you put in to function. And obviously you'd have some functionality you wanted probably when you bought it. But really now you've got to look past the 10 you've gotten up to 20, 30, right? And start planning down the line as if you would with the finance budget, put your tech alongside it. And I think you guys can provide, I suppose, that consultative approach around tech stack, not telling them what to buy, but really helping them understand what the future might look like for them.
Yeah, absolutely. The constant conversation I'm in is the kind of the two system kind of partying, let's call it, on the left-hand side, the all-in-one, that holistic system, you know, yeah. I'm gonna buy a system that everything's incorporated, yeah. super useful, really nice looking proposition. Again, how scalable is that? And then on the right-hand side, that agnostic, that best in class. You know, am I picking a POS that is, you know, it's called the fiscal requirements for relevant regions for future future progression? You know, who else can then interconnect into that POS? And it's that little bit of an argument between the two. It's nice to have a consolidated supplier stack, of course, and it becomes modular and the price point becomes a bit easier to absorb.
Yeah.
But how much do you miss out on in terms of, you know, expansion for the future?
And ROI, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And, I understand the passion behind the all-in-one thing from an operator's point of view. When I say an operator, I mean ops director below. And then there's a board C-suite opinion. So I think the operators like potentially the all-in-one because it makes sense to them. Everything's in one place. I've got one login. I can get it all, you know, and whatever. But I think when you then roll it up a bit and you're looking from a broader angle or a growth angle, it's totally different because you're looking at cost, you're looking at what you just talked about in terms of integrations as we grow, where can we go, what market we're going into, information that might not be readily available to the operators. The operators are just thinking about how do I function through the day, how do I get through it. So it is interesting to see those conversations changing now as people are understanding tech a bit better.
Oh, I mean, we see it all the time. It's some emerging brands who we approached in the past and they went with an all-in-one system and next minute they're opening up in Italy, France or Germany and they're like, oh,
hello.
Hi again.
Where have you been?
You advised this, did you not?
Yeah, and I think that advice, but it's one of the reasons Tech on Toast, we're doing the podcast, we're doing everything we can to educate because it's really about educating, about understanding who's behind the tech, what is your purpose, as in what are DeliverAct up to, and what can you do to help them? And I think, you know, there's not just audio, but there's video and all sorts you can grab to find out about people like you. And I think it's really important that they go down that journey, the buying process, before they commit. Steve from Marigami talked on the last podcast about when he opened Marigami, he brought in he did one plate of truth, he called it, one plate of truth meeting. So he got all the tech guys involved, so POS, everybody, to come on a call. And he said, look, I don't really know how to bring this all together, but it needs to happen for any of you to be here. So I'll leave you to it. You guys talk and let's come back. And so he hosts these meetings. I think it was monthly or weekly. I can't remember what he was saying, but it worked. And they got to a point where everyone was working together and they integrated perfectly and off they went.
Well, fortunately, I can say I was on that. So,
were you really? Were you part of the one plate of truth?
Yeah. So, like, you know, I think I can happily say now we're rolling out with Marigami.
Great.
Superly, you know, it's an exciting brand, exciting global brand.
Yeah.
So one we'll be nurturing and looking after well moving forward.
What does it look like going forward? You talked about product. You talked about that product is potentially changing or you're doing something different. Tell us a bit more, if you can.
You know, isn't it lovely and exciting to say we're going to go and do X, Y, and Z? The realism, we've stretched ourselves to wide boundaries.
Yeah.
Maturing the markets where we're not as mature yet. So making sure the integrations are in great shape. The thing about DeliverAct, it's an API-first business.
Yeah.
And so certification is a huge part for us and the standard of that certification. Not just certification, doing recertification. We want to make sure that the feature parity for a channel coming into a POS is at its optimum.
Love that.
So we want to go and do that globally. We want to go and do that in every region. So we really are a drag and drop option for your tech stack in all areas and all places.
And that's the reliability, right? And the integrity you're talking about there.
Yeah. And, you know, there are a heap of companies who say they do an identical thing, but integrations are two very separate pieces. One can give you a failed order rate of 5%, one can give you 0.5%.
And, yeah.
You know, if you then work that up and scale it up in terms of revenues driven by that business, it then turns into a big ROI factor. And you've also got a really rich feature set which enables other ways to make and derive revenue for a business. It's just about us offsetting that in the best way possible.
No, I love that. And I think the failed order rate is a big deal, right? So it's something that, again, it's a bit, we were talking before about margins and looking at your menu deeply, but that the failed order rate is when Deliveroo really started kicking in, in previous companies I worked for, you suddenly realize, wow, we're missing quite a bit, and not just in failed orders, but in, you know, in missed orders from the team, not ringing things through properly. I mean, there's so many problems that potentially you guys are solving in terms of manual entry and all that kind of stuff, which happens overnight, right? Pretty much once you plug in.
Absolutely. I mean, there's not too many brands now I speak to who again don't have that solution.
Yeah.
So the days I think of taking a receipt and plugging it back in, that's definitely past. But it's now about just how do you make that one step better.
Yeah.
Because we've got this central portal for order management, you know, it's a great tool for operations. If you've got a support desk or a help desk, you know, and you can go and look at any digital order, whether that be kiosk, whether that be platform, whether that be direct to consumer, order and pay, and you can see the status of that order all the way through. You can troubleshoot whether there's a POS issue, a channel issue, an issue from ourselves, and get it relevantly fixed. It could be a human error as well. We will prompt you and notify you if there are issues and things in place.
And is your solution mainly, I mean, are you looking really at, because you talked, we've name dropped some big brands. Yeah. Are you looking mainly at enterprise business, or are you still working with is it interesting to still work with the smaller guys?
Difficult conversation, this one. It's always been a case of the business started, I think, with SMB in mind.
Yeah.
They said we met to 2018.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the product, fortunately or not necessarily fortunately, you know, luck comes to those who go and make it themselves, but some big clients came on in the very early days and naturally built the product for us.
Yes.
So, you know, feature requests and bugs and issues coming from the likes of Burger King, you're going to progress your product into an enterprise grade system and software. And so we were very fortunate with that. And then naturally you have a knock-on effect. You then pick up, you know, Yums and Pret's and Pizza Expresses, and you've got some stunning names on there. And it's not just a single franchisee. We're talking about global agreements and national agreements with these companies.
Yeah, so that makes sense, doesn't it? So really, it's sometimes the product positions you, not the other way around, right? So what happened in terms of enterprise buyers coming on has ended up building your product to a point where it makes sense for those kind of people to be using it.
Yeah, and because it's been built with scale in mind, I'd say anyone with a multi-location operation,
yeah,
it's perfect for delivery. Single site, it's quite a complex.
It's the point, isn't it? But the point is to grow, is for growth, isn't it?
I mean, for sure.
That's the whole point of what you guys do. You enable you to take what you were doing in one area, region, whatever it might be, and multiply it and reach more people, which is the end game for any customer, right? To grow their business, they need more customers and they need them to stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to be the foundation and the infrastructure behind that.
The glue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what else? What about you, Joe? Anything going on for the next? Have you got anything planned? Are you going to stretch out of UK and Ireland, or are they going to keep you locked in here?
It's a busy market, I can tell you that. So it's an immensely exciting market.
Yeah.
You know, it's contained but busy. And
your passion's like, if it doesn't come across in this podcast, I'll be shocked. Your passion for what you do, I think it's really admirable.
So, I mean, this position in the industry right now is just wonderful. Dealing with all the relevant, again, I talk about brands and channels and POS companies and dispatch businesses and you know, everything else that surrounds it. It's immensely satisfying.
Is that your job then? I mean, what does the general manager? So are you literally? I know it's a light touch, probably you can't do everything, but are you kind of looking after all of that, overseeing all of that?
Yeah, you oversee all of it.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic here. You know, the company's been well invested into. Supply is going to be the main driver for the business, acquiring new customers. So naturally get involved with like the larger acquisitions.
Yeah.
Some of those larger brands, which will travel waters as well, is probably where I'm spending the majority of my time. But we're very focused on account management as well. We're very focused on the operations. We're very focused on the product.
Yeah.
And you end up just touching into all areas. So.
That's what I said, spinning plates.
Yeah, spinning plates indeed.
What about on a day off, Joe? Do you get to do anything nice? I mean, are you just literally reading about DeliverEct?
I think non-stop about integrations, feature parity.
That's not healthy, Joe.
I'm completely obsessed with API. So, you know, I could tell you now exactly what we're after, you know, like stacking API, discount API.
Yeah, you don't want to go for a beer with Joe. Unless you're interested in APIs, then yeah, of course, go out with.
Yeah, no, it's coming from a commercial individual from nature, but I understand.
And have you picked that up? I mean, has that been quite natural for you to? Because I think you're quite an analytical chap anyway. You quite like the detail, don't you?
I totally understand how product will lead my proposition moving forward. So, you know, fundamentally, commercial makeup sits within myself. But you know, for commercial to be successful, you need to ensure that you are. You know, you are totally side by side with product, with you know, everything else that sits within the business. I truly care about infrastructure and security. I know it's a big factor for enterprise customers. And if I'm not invested into that side of things, we're never going to go and land those accounts. So we've got to go and be comprehensive across all factors.
I'm not sure you can put that into a job description. That was a lot. But I'm guessing you do. Look, and if anybody wants to find out about DeliverAct, obviously you're on the marketplace. They can go and check you out there. And there's a little form there you can fill out and send in to Joe. Or where else can they find you, Joe?
Obviously on the DeliverAct website. We've got social pages as well.
That you're often on, being on the gram now.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the DeliverAct website is going to be your best place to go.
Yeah, I've seen it. You've been doing some upgrades, I see. Looks very cool.
Yeah, we've had a bit of a brand refresh as of recently. So the marketing...
Like a little ribbon. No one can see what I'm drawing with my hand. It's like there's a little green ribbon that appears.
There's lots of things we do that aren't necessarily established onto the website. There's lots of APIs that might not actually sit on Developer Hub.
I think I'm just going to send them to you, right? So on LinkedIn, people can come and stalk
you. I'm open to everyone. It's a bit of a problem.
You're also an open API. That's good. So yeah, look, if you want to get hold of Joe, you can find him on LinkedIn. Do you want to share your email, Joe? Some people do, some people don't. It's entirely up to you.
Yeah.
I feel like I put you under pressure. You can't say no.
You can stick the email on there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What's your email, Joe?
Oh, you want it?
Okay. Yeah, tell us.
joe.heather@deliverect.com.
There you go. Easy. So if you want to get hold of Joe and ask him any questions about DeliverAct or APIs, which is his first-class subject on Mastermind, give him a shout.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Very good. Great to meet you again, mate. Nice to see you. We've just taken him down to Brewdog. Unfortunately, we're not having a beer. Sorry to say that. You can have a beer if you want, but I've got to go. Thanks very much, and we'll see you all soon.
Absolutely. Well, and Brewdog, fellow customer.
So, there you go. Had to get that at the
end. Had to chuck that in.
Fellow customer. Very cool. And they are very cool. This is a cracking venue. All right, mate. Thanks very much. See you soon.
Cheers, Chris.
Bye. Thank you.